is Mike York, and you're listening to Talking Schmidt with me and Mr. Schmidt, man. Bang.
Hey.
Talking Schmidt.
I'm already not watching.
It's cool. Like, tonight is the night.
Damn, this is like the coolest thing I'm ever going to do.
I wouldn't say it was fun.
What do you mean? Well, Christian Fletcher's younger brother.
Fuck the Dodgers.
Oh, big dog's in. What do you think, Dolan?
John? Schmidt?
Talking Schmidt.
Alpha Macaroni.
Most of these guys, their opinion don't matter.
Talking Schmidt, right?
It's skateboarding.
I remember that.
Talking Schmidt.
What are Yuns doing?
Holy shit.
Skateboarding homies.
No, Schmidt, you can't jump in.
What is happening?
I'm here for Greg Smith. Yay!
Gregory.
Yes, we are.
Wi-Fi check one. Wi-Fi check two.
Let's go through the board sponsors. What was your first board sponsor? Was that Real?
Yeah, Real. That was Jeff Plant. Jeff Plant would come down to Embarcadero and, you know, watch us all skate and be cool. And I knew Jeff from Hocus Pocus. He was hungry. I'm going to get a rat. He was in the parking lot. And he was doing slide stuff and like curb tricks. He had like his quick cameo. So like, I knew that. I was like, all right, you know, I'm already skating nerd at this time. I'm knowing all this shit, like putting it Then he drove to my house, met my mom, sat with my mom, talked to her while I'm in my room. I'm not even in the fucking room. So I don't know what the you know what I mean? And then Jeff comes in my room, hands me two fucking boards, Tommy Guerrero and a Thebo. SFTG.
Yep.
Brown. Both were brown. Brown. Thing. Yeah. And then the Hangman, Thebo. Real boards. They had fucking stickers as top graphics. Real stickers. Didn't even have a top graphic screen. It was a sticker. Bang.
Right. Damn. That's sick. And that's kind of full circle for you because you keep, I mean, whatever. You right? mentioned Jim a bunch and then all of a sudden your first sponsor. Yeah.
I lived in fucking Albany. Want to know what? Okay. Here's where it gets even weirder. Here's where it's weirder. So when I went to Albany High School, I go into the fucking lunchroom, the auditorium. I guess Albany High was known for fucking wrestling, right? Whose fucking picture's up there in a fucking wrestling thing all buff like this? Like,
no way.
This is Jay Thebo. Boom. It's fucking Jim. I'm looking up at the shit. I'm in a Thrasher fucking beanie. When Thrasher beanies came out, and like, I remember getting one like, you know, Christmas or something like.
Yeah.
At school, my Thrasher, looking up, and the guy said, oh, yeah. That's Jim Thebo. He was a skateboarder too. You know, you got another skateboarder. Are you going to wrestle? Blah, blah, blah. And now I'm putting that together too. I'm like, what the fuck, dude? What the fuck? This is crazy, dude. And I still get spit bars to this day. Yeah.
You talked to Frankie hook you up, Gerwer? Or?
Yep. No, man. Best dude ever. Like,
fuck,
I mean,
yeah.
I love Frank anyway. So it's like, you know,
yeah.
It's cool that I have a reason to reach out to him, like, on like that. That way with skate business, you know, send me a few sets of wheels. It's dope. He sent me a board before too. Wanted a 9-inch popsicle board. I'm like, you got any of those laying around? I know you know a couple dudes there. He's like, yeah, I can see what I can do. It was great, you know.
Oh, that's man.
Pulled my hip flexor on. So I rode the shit out of it.
Okay. Where'd you go from Real?
World Industries. I got swooped, dude. I just left. Jim and them didn't do nothing. It was nothing personal. It was more of the opportunity to ride for them. It was basically like, you know, you're a little kid and that's where you want to be at. So it was like, all of a sudden, I'm not worth shit until someone likes me. Now I got value. And now they're going, oh, you're over there. Why don't you come over here? Yeah. You know what I mean? All my favorite skaters, all my guys, everyone wanted me over there. I was flattered as fuck. I felt stoked. I felt a part of that more.
Mm.
You know, I felt more comfortable with that crew. They were all like my age. We're all into the same thing. We're all hyper goofy little kids, skate nerds. And,
yeah.
You know, because at the time with Real, and not just Real, a lot of skate companies, you had older OGs and then you had young kids. So we were separated. When Jerron and I would go on trips with Jim to like the skate zone, pal, Santa Barbara place, you know?
Yeah.
Like we get invited, Jim's at Bones Brigade. So he's got a pass, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, and Tommy. So Real got a pass in there. So he would let us, you know, get a group of us to go. You know, I would notice that Jerron and I would be eating gummy worms. Jim and him would be drinking grenades, you know? Mickey Gray's and chilling and doing grown up shit. So we was, and it was, and their music was different. Our music was different. It was like we were separated. We were in the corner that was over there. You know what I mean? Where, yeah. Where like with the world guys, it was all of us were the like eating gummy worms and shit. You know what I mean? Right. So I just comfortable with that. And right. I looked, it wasn't real was any less and world was any more. I looked at world as being, I put it on a pedestal. The way I look at dating, I put it on the pedestal like that. Boom. So that's what made it have value. When I look back now, I'm like, duh. Because all I did, it ended up doing was leaving that and going right back to Deluxe to Stereo.
Right.
I went right back. Jim's going, oh, you're back, huh? And I went, yeah. And it was like, you know, and at this time, Jeff Clint, you know, had passed away during this whole time. And you know, so it's a different Deluxe. It's kind of getting ran by, it's so I'm coming in and Jason Lee and Dune are there and things are different. I think they were going to do a company with Jordan Richter called Family. I think they were going to do something like that too. I want to say American Dream
with Ron Allen.
With Ron Allen, yeah. So I think there was a lot of like new stuff happening, like new changes with Deluxe at that time. So when I came in with Stereo, they were working on a video. And they had LeVar already over there. They had my man John Diago already over there. And, you know, Jason Lee is an absolute favorite skateboarder in the world. And like, you know, my hero, number one hero, like best dude to ever touch a skateboard. Like, you know, that I would put his picture, if skateboard is skateboarding in a dictionary, that would be I would put Jason Lee's video part. That's what skateboarding is. And then you, whatever else you could do around that, you got it. The video days part, that is like,
yeah,
on the vert ramp, bro. Everything you wouldn't everything. Want to do that ollie back tail grabs like that. I do,
yeah.
That back tail he did, I want those some big old back disaster. Oh my, are you fucking kidding me? Everything, I got my Dickies on looking like him to this day, dude. So it's like that dude, that's the best skateboarder in the fucking world, dude. Jason Lee, right?
So were you like kind of fanning out, like being around him? Was it hard? Were you nervous at all,
dude? Yes, I had. I'm at John Diego's house. I'm already on Stereo. They're like, Jason's coming. Jason's going to meet us. And I'm like, oh shit, I'm about to meet Jason Lee. This is fucking crazy. Jason walks in and Jason goes, oh, it's him? Oh, nah, dude. Not that guy. First thing he says, I'm just like this. He goes, what's up, man? Starts doing all these voices. What's up, dude? My name's Jason. All these stances and shit and fucking. And I'm just like, oh, first thing he did, though, was diss me. Oh, it's him? Nah, right. Man. Right to John Diego. Like, nah, dude. Nah. Or I'm cool. Fucking amazing, dude. And then yeah, it's just like being with your fucking hero. So I'm fanning out, but I know how to be cool with him. And I'm on his page, so I'm not like puppy dog, but I'm like, you know, hey, remember in the video and you did the kickflip manual kickflip out, and you're like, yeah, and I'm like, yeah, that was awesome.
It was Farley full Chris that. Farley moment, yeah,
like, for sure. But, you know, when you said when there was war outside your window, like, did you mean that? Like, yes. Daly was fucking shit up, dude, and it was like people weren't looking at him like that no more. I remember, oh yeah. Real quick, this is so, this happened to me, dude. This was so rad.
Yeah.
So I'm back somewhere and he flipped this little, this thing's like really small, but it's a tall drop. I'm trying to backside flip it. And I'm just being a little scared punk. It's going to my feet every time. And I'm just, I don't know why I keep, you know, I had a phase of that. I had to get out of that phase. You know, I had a little scaredy cat phase. Like, damn, bro, you're kicking it away like this far from the ground. Just let gravity do its thing. Jason saw me doing that. He goes, bro, so what are you doing? Just gets on his board and backside flips it first fucking try. It took me right out. And I was just like, every emotion. It was just like, I wanted to hug him and flip him off at the same time. You know what I mean? I was like, oh my God. I was like, that just happened to me, dude. That is so sick. It's like, how dope is that? He's like, what are you doing? He's like, so frustrated for me. Like, if you bail that shit one more time, I'm going to land. Like, you know, when you swallow for someone else and shit, like, come on, dude, get that down. You wipe your eye, you wipe your nose for someone else. You keep doing that. Like, come on, bro, get it. You know, he did that for me. He wiped my nose for me. Backside flipped that shit.
That's so sick, dude. Those moments are like forever too. You're not gonna forget that. There's some things you're gonna forget, but then there's some things for sure you will not.
Like my moments I forget. I'll watch footage and I'm like, I did a back Smith grind. I can do that. My moments, but you know, fanning out like shit. You just mentioned Salba. I saw him at an art show. I took a photo with him. I turned into the kid. Like, I started feeling guilty. He knew I fast forwarded his shit to Nice.
The vert button. Rob used to tell me it's called the vert button. You just hit fast forward.
See, I'm not the only one, dude.
It was a thing.
Fortunately, and there's that rumor that Jordan Richter got edited out, and it was not. It wasn't personal, bro. It was you were on a ramp. That was it. You weren't on a ramp. If it was just your street, Jordan would have been in there, dude. It's something about street skaters back then. It was like, you know, the BMX guy, he's cool, but a vert skater. You know what I mean?
Well, it was so foreign to any kid that was like not rich and grew up like, you know, where are you going to learn how to ride a vert ramp? You got to know somebody that has one.
Right. And then how much are pads and like how much is everything and like, you know, and you're going to let me ride that shit? You know what I mean?
When street started hitting, it just blew up. Like there's this new, everything was new. You know, it's like, wait, these guys are riding on walls, 90-degree walls. How the fuck are they doing this? Like, this is crazy. This guy's flipping his board. Like, I remember seeing Hensley do the no comply flip, and I was like, that's bullshit. That did not happen. That's fucking fake.
I would call bullshit on, like, sequences and stuff. Because, you know, the frames would be really like, like, okay, how do you go from right here, and then you're all the way here? I'm like, there's no way. And then as I get into skating, I'm like, oh, yeah, there is a way. Like, there actually is a way. But, yeah, I used to think this stuff was fake, too. I'm like, that's fake, dude. Tony Hawk, that's a stage name. That came Tommy Guerrero. Come on, dude. You can't have these names. These guys are fake. There's like a stage. Like
Tony Hawk? What?
And like Mountain, like all these group of guys.
Yeah.
Like this shit's staged, right? Like Hulk Hogan, like Randy Savage, like
it felt like that, like larger than life. Like this dude's name is life. Satan spelled backwards. No way,
right? And you think like all this stuff, and you're just like, man, are you kidding me? This shit is this deep,
right?
Satanic skateboarder, like you're to take over the world.
So, where'd you go from World?
Stereo. So World
Industry. Oh, yeah, back to Stereo. And then from Stereo, where'd you go?
And then Stereo, what the fuck? Chocolate. Yeah.
Stereo, that was it.
Off Stereo. I got kicked off Stereo because, so there was board concave issues and there was communication issues and me being young issues. So I didn't know how to express and communicate my complaints of where the brand was, me being a young dude at Embarcadero, like with Carol, with everyone, like on the deck, on the scene, like you guys are late. Like you get the news, we're making and reporting the news. So I know when a flat tail and the nose, I see the shapes changing, see the concave changing. I see the wheels. I see the stuff. I'm watching the performance of these dudes. I'm watching what Rick Howard rides now. I'm watching what Mike Carroll rides. I'm watching what Javante rides. I'm watching what all my favorite skaters that are local and around, you know, Sheffies and whoever, what they're riding. I'm noticing flat tail, steeper nose. So I'm going, yo, our boards are fucking steep tail and flat nose. We got to change this shit, bro. We got to be up. I'm not realizing that I'm fucking a complaining little bitch and a brat because I'm not thinking of it in that way. I'm not thinking that these boards are already ordered, Mike. These boards, we have more boards ordered. We can't just snap with a finger change shit. I'm a dumbass kid. I don't know business or anything like that. So I'm going, these boards suck, dude. The concaves are whack. Look at these boards. These are what everyone's riding. I see what everyone's skating. No one's riding real boards anymore. No one's riding the stereo boards anymore. Everyone's riding those. Everyone's riding that. You know what I mean? Where before everyone was riding it, you would see Carol on a fucking Matt Rodriguez. You would see fucking people riding those boards like other people. So I hated the boards. The boards were gross. So I didn't want to ride those boards either. Carol's giving me boards. I'm spray painting, stickering it up, hoping the guys don't come down because I know that it's a shitty thing I'm doing, but I'm still a dumbass kid and I want to skate and I want to perform at the best I can, right? Basically, me complaining about the boards and shit, those guys were like, and then those guys are older, so they don't really care. At the time, it was like dudes like Coco Santiago on the team. Coco is not looking at the fucking concave of a deck and going, how big's the wheelbase?
Yeah.
I don't think that motherfucker gave a fuck. Give that man a skateboard. He will ride that shit.
Yeah, he isn't fucking nuts.
There was a lot of dudes in there that wasn't really tripping on like specs yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it wasn't, and I was tripping on specs. I was like, bro, that little fucking little eighth of an inch matters. Well, Solomon will get on that board and fuck shit up. And I'm like, I know, but he's a fucking Solomon fucking a guy, like a hero. A fucking, like, no one skates like that dude.
Of course,
Coco can get on that board. No one skates like that dude. That dude's gnarly as fuck. You know what I mean? But regular folk, you're going to need some flat in the tail, bro, dangling out. You know what I mean? And there's stuff that I don't know if they noticed, but I didn't know how express it to them in a mature way to be like, let's grow, let me help you. I'm up there going, these boards fucking talking.
So were you without a board sponsor in between Stereo or Chocolate? Like,
yeah, but I was on Chocolate. Like I literally, and it was crazy because
Chocolate was already started.
Yeah, Chocolate was already started. So
I'm
like best friends at this time. Every day I'm with Ben and Shamil and Aris and all my friends, you know, the guys were affiliated with that. Yeah, me being on, them not telling me, and them enjoying watching me sweat and talking about how we're going to go on tour and we'll send you a postcard.
They just continued the fucking smart intellect to fucking bust your balls.
Yeah, busting my balls till the tour, till the day of the tour.
Wow. Were you part, like, did you overhear some discussions before those dudes left Plan B and were going to start the whole thing? Like, were you aware it was coming?
Check out. Okay, so this happened, dude. This happened.
Okay.
Mike Carroll and Rick Howard can tell you this happened. And I think Rodney Mullen might have been there too. I'm at the Back to the City contest. Me and Carol are tight. At this point, it's the Mike and Mike. Like, we're tight, tight. I already know Mike Janowski through H Street days and him coming down, and he would give me like the new Sal Barbier before it came out. You know what I mean? Like, and I'd be like, oh my God, like, you know, not sponsored or nothing, but like when he's in town and I'm there, and now Mike Carroll's a little homie and I skate, and you do, he could bless me. You know what I mean? And it was like, yeah.
Right,
that shit. So I'm with Carol. I'm rolling with Carol, dude. And he says, "Come stay at the hotel with me." I call my mom. Can I spend the night? Yeah. So I'm with Carol. I'm spending the night at the hotel. Wake up in the morning, and Rick's there. And Rick comes over, or whatever. And then we go to a hotel room and knock on the door. They're wearing the girl shirts already. I knew that they were doing girl. So they had the girl shirts on, white with blue girl logo on it. Doesn't say girl or nothing. They just have them.
Right.
Rick and Mike, and they talking amongst themselves. Now we're walking to another hotel room. Open the door. It's fucking Mike Janowski and Rodney Mullen, I think. I want to say Mullen and Janowski were there. Maybe not Rodney. Twin beds. Janowski's right here. Rick and Mike right here. I'm in the like little chair in the corner. They're talking about that fucking situation. Why am I in the room? Why there? Why? I'm just like this. Holy shit. Listening to this shit go down, bro. And like them saying, yup, yup, explaining it. Megan, hearing Megan Baltimore's name, hearing things that I'm going, oh my God, why am I here, dude? And I know Mike T, and I'm looking at Mike like he'll look over at me. I'm like, I don't even look at him and shit. You know what I mean? I'm like, I don't know. I'm on Stereo. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Now you're backup.
Fuck, dude. That one was an uncomfortable one, bro.
Fuck.
But But everyone was cool. No one, it wasn't like no drama in there. It was discussions. I was like, you know, when I look back at it, I was actually impressed on the way they did it. They like handled that pretty like, you know, someone told them, don't just surprise them at the contest. You better talk to them. You owe him that much respect to right. at least tell them. But then if you notice back to the city contest, everybody had that shit on and kind of like, hey, new wave coming.
Dude, that's how it was back in the day. It seemed like that's how Slap opened up too. Like you went to EMB and everyone had Slap shirts on. And you're like, what the fuck is Slap? It just said Slap. That was it.
Yeah,
that's what I remember for the first time seeing Slap. I was like, whoa.
Lance gave all of us a chance. And Lance like saw the skateboard talent versus like the popular guy and made us popular guys. Like my first picture in the magazine was in the first Slap. I couldn't believe it. I remember and it's in a style article with like Ron Chapman and like all these rad ass dudes that I look up to, like in there. And I'm in that article doing a little tail slide shit. And I'm looking at this shit like, what? This is right. unbelievable. He told me the first Slap was a flyer and that picture was on there.
Damn.
Damn, bro. Really? Like I was a nobody. Like that was like, you know, those guys just giving me real stuff. I'm wearing Airwalk Enigmas, bro. I have Airwalk Enigmas doing a back tail slide at RSF in Berkeley.
Wow. There,
so that's pretty dated. The blue and the gray black ones.
You're kind of a dude that like is pretty critical of your gear, right? Are you like when you look at your footage, are you checking out your gear? Like,
you know what? That's so crazy because not really. You know, if anything, it's like I wear like crazy shit, like because I see it like people trip on it. So I like, all right, I'm gonna wear these pants with dogs all over them, dog print pants and shit. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's a way for me to throw my nuts around a little bit. Like, yeah, I can wear these dog pants, motherfucker. Like, you can't. I can. You know what I'm saying? Like, some people scared to do shit like that. I'm not. And I like clothes and shit like that. So, you know. And I got a lot of different styles. So, when it's hot out here, I'm in my permanent vacation mode. And that'll be, like, board shorts. Like, but I'm never in the water. You know what I mean? No socks or low socks and shit, and just like a t-shirt or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so, chilling. I love it.
Just fuck around. I don't really be getting too dolled up now.
So is Chocolate kind of, would you consider that your first video part, like full length? Like you had Tricks in other videos, 411 probably, and FTC and stuff like that.
I think that kind of hurt me, but I used to do that on purpose back then. Is I used to just film for the Chocolate videos. I didn't else. I used to like whatever footage like would be in a video or something would be like shit I didn't want in my part. Or if people would ask me, hey, would you want to film a line? Would you want to film that while skating or something? Because it's weird, dude. Like, even though I had fun doing it, there was a moment where like I was skating just to learn tricks, just to film them, just to fucking make video parts. I wasn't having like I wasn't skating fun like now, like right. where I don't care what I'm doing, like I just enjoy it and like yes, 58 slappy crooks, like yep, that's what I'm doing, I don't care, don't look at it, like you know what I'm saying, like but back then it was like learn a trick, film it, got the clip, next move, and the whole time it was like my video part, okay, I got this, I got that, I need one of these, I need a spot like this, I need a trick like this. Like, you know, I'd always be planning shit. You know, I would like love shooting photos too. Like that was, I think I really got, like I was really blessed to be in skateboarding at that time. Like a lot of people, like money wise, I think we fucked up. We didn't have like a good guidance to like do our own companies and shit, but it took us to fuck up for this next generation to be doing that. So they got to love us for that fuck up.
Yeah.
But we held that skateboard shit down though. You know what I mean? Like
for sure.
Like certain tricks were illegal. You were judged off of a trick you did back then. You know what I mean? Like right. you did it in the 90s, early 2000s. It's like, bro, you was in a category, right? We put you in a category. You were goofy. We put you right there. Boom. You know what I mean? It was with Simon Woodstock, right? serious, dude. It was crazy. Where now it's like everything's open, which it should be, but everything was clicky. It wasn't skateboarding. It was the times. Everything sure. had rules, any culture you're in, you had to follow those rules and then be accepted by those, the higher ups. You
know what I'm saying? But then pretty soon when your boss is your peer, it's much different than when your boss is this dude that's like an older guy, business guy. Like right. you're not on the same level, but when it's like, I don't know, like Mike and Rick, you're like, fuck, we've been skating together for all, I can have a talk with you.
Right, right, yeah.
What was the pressure like though? I mean, you guys put out, obviously like with Spike Jones involved in everything, like those videos are fucking gnarly. And then Ty Evans getting involved, like that's gnarly. Like those level of production.
I was nervous because I'm like, bro, you just came off of filming Chad fucking Muska, bro. I'm a low impact dude. You're gonna be bored as fuck with me.
Yeah.
Like, dude, all I do is move the camera like that. Three stairs is all I get, York. I'm trying to, you know what I'm saying? I was like, yeah, you're no stiff neck with me, bro. You're just, I was nervous. I'm like, oh, but no, but he was rad. He was like, he didn't care that I, you know, that was sometimes an issue with me is my style of skateboarding. You know, some people would say, oh, well, I'm looking for the guy that's going to go down the handrail or this and that. You know what I mean? So it was like, sort of like, you know, at the time I was pigeonholing myself. And then I was like stubborn too. So like tight pants are out, I baggy my pants up even more. You know what I mean? Do the opposite. Like whatever, I'd go on Slap message board, whatever trick they didn't like, I'd learn it switch. You know what I mean? I was like, oh, I'm about to be a troll on you motherfuckers. And that's what started happening, dude.
I love that. That's amazing.
Like where I am now.
Is one of those video parts like the one that you hold the most pride in? Like, do you have a favorite video part of your own?
They're all different in a different way. I'm stoked on my mouse part because it was like I was skating every day with my friends with zero expectations. I didn't know what anyone else was doing. And we would just kind of like, we all would get clips and it was just like, we all would skate together. It'd be like me, Ben, Shamil, whoever else. And then it'd be like, guys, what was cool is I would be with guys that were sponsored by different companies, but we're all filming for a video. So we would all skate together, film with the same filmer. It wasn't like just the Dickie scene. It would right. be, you know, girl guys, the chocolate guys, the fucking, you know, the fucking almost guys, the menace guys, whoever, all film one filmer. And dude would give you his clip and this clip, and it was cool. Like I didn't feel like it was competition in a way of like who could do that, the new shit kind of for yourself, your right. new shit, not the new shit, but like, damn, like, you know, like Henry did that manual trick there. It's like, fuck, dude, got to step the bar up now. We got to, you know what I mean? To keep up now. So that was kind of like our motive, I think. It was just like, stepping up the bar. When I got into skateboarding, guys that I watched skate, I mimicked them, right? I mimicked Nottis. I learned at the tail side. I learned as much as I could mimic from him and I could get. And the gods, I tried to mimic that, learn his tricks and this trick and that trick. And so skateboard videos, that's the point. We watch it, right? Some guy does a trick. Oh, that was sick. Everybody's doing it now, right? It becomes trendy. You know, when dude no comply knows we'll eat the fucking table, everybody's no comply. Oh my God, I gotta learn. You know what I mean? It was like, that's awesome. That's I love that about skating. See, people can hate on that. Oh, that's weak. I'm like, what's weak about that? That's amazing that like you could do that with skateboarding. And so, you know, I think that with skateboarding in the place it is now versus back then, like as far as cultures and shit like that, it's like you could be Simon Woodstock and have a shoe on Eddie's, but back then you couldn't have no fuck no, right?
Right. You know I mean, once skateboarding got popular, it was open to everybody. And then, you know, with the new everything, it's like everybody is sensitive and nobody wants to, like you said, like the stuff that was happening at EMB, it was kind of out of love. It was like anything else, like to be a part of the club, we're gonna push your button, I'll push yours, you push mine. If you're like too sensitive to it and leave, you ain't made for our clique. Like that's
what it is.
I trip out on this stuff, like all this stuff, there's so much stuff and it almost went overboard, like
did, because people are bringing up stuff from the past, you know, and it's like the time was different then. So it's like, are you going to cancel Eddie Murphy Delirious?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, he says some raw shit in there, dude.
Yeah.
Like, you know, have you ever watched an 80s horror movie?
Yeah.
Like, they're going to, you've ever saw Purple Rain? Dude calls him a full blown, like, you faggot, da da da, like talking shit to Prince, like calling him all kind of shit. So much crazy stuff that I guess would get you, you know, canceled these days was around us then. And I think people weren't taking it so sensitive as a group. I think people took things personal if it was said to you back then. That's why people used to get beat up back in the day more.
People used to
fuck. It was you. You said that shit to me. So now we have an issue. Not you said a word and I'm a part of a group and I'm going to defend us, which is cool too. I'm not mad at nobody for nothing.
The only thing I'm mad at is the anonymous animosity. When you're Indie 169 and you don't identify who you are and you try to ruin someone's life, dude, this is someone's life. And you're Indie 169 in your mom's basement with fucking lube and like anger management classes and all your bullshit. It's like everybody thinks their voice is so important, but we're the old guys and we can't go there, you know?
You know, people are people and we fuck up and you know, you learn from your mistakes. If you're not willing to accept and make mistakes, like if you're perfect and Mr. Perfect and shit, I bet you got a lot of fucking issues going on.
Right.
The most of my growing has come from fucking up and feeling shitty about that situation.
Yeah.
And why I don't do those situations. I needed to go through shit like that or needed to be involved in things that I don't want to be involved in anymore. And so you learn from your mistakes. That's what experience is. That's a fancy word for fucking up. I, you know, 17 years experience on the field. Now I've been fucking up for 17 years and still got a goddamn job is what they mean.
No, totally. I wish that they would like utilize the error to educate. Like, okay, this person fucked up. We're going to educate this person what it was wrong. And it's like you're an alcoholic and you stop drinking. And then 20 years later, someone's like, you used to be an alcoholic. It's like, used to.
Fuck you. I mean, it was so rude to me when you were drunk and an alcoholic. And now you're not.
I'm like, sorry, dude. I made my amends.
Yeah, that's crazy. I do think that there's different ways to approach stuff.
Blood Wizard. Blood Wizard.
Blood Wizard.
Blood Wizard!
Shop.bloodwizard.com.
Tickety tack.
Hey, it's Corey at Blue Plate, 3218 Mission Street. Come see us. Meatloaf, fried chicken, deviled eggs, Dollar Olympia beers. We're here every day of the week. We got a garden and we got smiles on our faces. Come let us make you happy.
First impressions of Mike York. Pretty sure it's the same day. First impression of the cities with Carl and his homeboy in the garage. Then we go to EMB, and as I'm maybe oiling up the curb or just walking up, that's the first person I see is York. And the first trick I see is a backside 180 north. But the Norse kicked out to the side, kind of with reminiscent of Ron Allen, to where you talk about being intimidated. There's a kid your same age, dressed kind of, you know, we're all dressed similar, and he's just got the style that just sticks out. He's the style for miles. There, York has it, you know that. First person to do that tray flip everyone and their mother does nowadays, too.
You mentioned the mouse video a little bit ago, and a lot of people don't know, but the song you used, Ron Allen was involved, yeah?
Yeah, Ron Allen, my man Knack One, and my man Giggs, Rosario, and Brian. These dudes were graffiti artists and rappers and shit. And they lived in Oakland, and Ron was around those guys. The guy Brian got me into skateboarding.
Oh, so that's that guy.
No, there was a different dude.
Oh, okay.
This dude basically was the guy that was like, saw those dudes, and then he was the first guy that was a skater. So he was the first guy to put me on, like, you know what I mean?
Right.
This dude, he was already, I remember he had a fucking he had a Tom Grucholsky board, dude, with like a skeleton or something on it, like something like a squiggly thing. Uh-huh. I don't know, something like that. Some sort of vision board, right? It was like that. Yeah, I totally remember that board. And then he could wall ride the ramp. And so I remember like he was like younger and that dude would talk to me. So that's crazy. So he got into graffiti and hip hop after that. So I ended up connecting with him later. So it was crazy because then he saw me and was like, holy shit, you're fucking doing it, bro. Like if I would have skated with you, I would have been doing that, huh? And I said, you would have probably been a pro by now. You know, tired, dude. Like if you would have got exposure back then, they would have loved you. You know what I mean? Like that kind of, you know, like hometown hero.
Yeah.
Like that dude. So they made music. I would go kick it over there. And it was cool because I would skate in the Bay Area in San Francisco, do all my peer stuff or whatever. Then I'd go across the bridge to the East Bay and kick it with that group. So I would be with skaters. Then I'd be with like musicians, dudes, older skate, like dudes who used to skate, but no skaters. So my whole crowd was different. So it was cool because I was like more of like, who's that? Instead of, oh, this was York. I feel goofy in that situation sometimes back then. So it made me feel cooler to be the why is he here guy instead of like, who is that? Like no one jocked me. No one gave a fuck because I'm around musician people, graffiti artists, rappers. So if I didn't do any, and they were freestyle battle rapper kind of dudes. So if I didn't freestyle battle, I was just like the homie, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm just a guy on the couch, like, you know, kicking it. I was cool, but it was like, oh, he skates. He does something else.
Right.
So I was able to be around there and these dudes would perform and they do with turntables and they had drums. So it would always be music and fun shit going on there. The fools would be drinking and smoking weed and shit like that shit I was into. After skating, I'm home, I'm on this side. So I'm like, out. And it was like super cool. So these dudes came and said, yo, like, you know, I said, dude, why don't you guys make a song for me? I was like, I'm making a video right now. I was like, I'm going to use this. I was like, I got a Bob James song I'm going to use because Ghostface had just dropped his album and it had the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da- they knew all the albums and samples. So he's like, bro, you're going to freak it. I got the sample to that. It's this record right here. He played the song for me. And I'm like, oh, shit, that's that? He goes, yeah, he goes, use this for your video part. I'm like, I'm using that shit, dude. So that was going to be my part. I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to fuck. They're going to fucking rip in this video, bro. That song is too fucking sick. And it wasn't like common back then. You know, it wasn't like put it on Instagram. It was like,
right.
Back then, DJs would like cover the fucking album, not let you know what the fuck it was, so you can look and see what record's that. They wouldn't even
right.
Funny, it's the blue record. That's yeah. all you. You don't know what it is. So he was playing this. So I'm like, dude, like, and then I'm telling them, man, why don't y'all play? I was like, you guys are fucking sick. I was like, why don't y'all make a song for me? I'll put it on my video. I was like, you know what fucking Plan B did for fucking like Hieroglyphics, bro? I was like, every skateboarder was at, there was at least probably 80% skateboarders at the early Hieroglyphic shows.
For sure.
Yeah. They heard Mike Carroll's song, they went crazy. They heard this song, they went crazy. Sheffy's song, whatever.
Yeah.
All that Hiero shit, bro. I'm like, Dave, I'm like, let me put y'all, since you're my friends, in the video. And y'all, because they looked like they were going to be doing that. I thought they were going to be doing that. So I'm like, why don't I do that for you guys? And we'll put it in a video. Hella people will see it and be like, oh, what's that song? Right? Get hella exposure. So they're like, all right. So all of them do it. They make a beat. They rap on it. They give me the shit on a DAT tape, bro.
Oh. Fucking
DAT tape. That's why it sounds so crazy. In okay. The video. It wasn't even burned on a CD or nothing. They gave me a fucking DAT tape. That means they recorded it off of another reel. So this is like some straight old school shit.
Yeah, so, it's like raw.
Yeah. So when we're editing the video and I go to girl, you know, and then Eris is the reason that the video has the best music in the world, is because of Eris Volkus, RIP to King Syrah, man. He was a DJ and he was the one that was able to find all the samples. and was in getting in all the funk shit and everything too. So he was putting me on to like going past hip hop, like, oh, this song. So he's like, bro, I'm just going to make you a mixtape of all these dope songs. You bring it down to LA with you, play them, and then y'all can go to the store. I'll write everything out. Whatever you like, you just go to the store, Tower Records, buy the CD. You have the music. So that's how the Mouse Video Music is fucking excellent. That's who did it, dude. That's who did it. Like, okay. So I'm bringing that tape over to Rick. I'm giving it to Rick. Bam, here's music, bro. Like, it's, you know what I mean? So all these songs are on there. Guy Mariano songs on there. All the songs are on there, okay? Because Guy didn't have that song. He had a Megadeth, Metallica, something. He had some Henry shit going on at first.
Oh, okay.
And then that song came, okay. So, you know, this shit was a big deal. Iris made a big impact with that music. You know what I mean? A lot of that style of music. So I get that song. We play it. I'm in there with Richard Mulder. We're watching the watching the footage and stuff. So Richard's like, you're not using that song? And I was like, nah, I'm going to use this song instead. He's like, I'm taking that song. I was like, use it. So if you look, Richard has the Nautilus song. And Richard's song is the down in the video. And that was supposed to be. That was like, and I just said, nah. And Richard was like, all right, I'm taking that. It went so dope with his part. That part is like so dope. Right? Richard Mulder is a legend. Like his skating was unbelievable. You know what I mean? So we made that song. They never put it out. They never did anything. So it's been a mystery. I get hit up all the time.
Dude.
What is that? You know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I don't know where to get it. I don't even know what it's called. I don't know the name of the group. I don't know nothing. I want to say it's FSC, but I don't know if that's the name of the group with Ron in it. I don't know because that's their graffiti crew. I don't know if Ron's in their graffiti crew. You know what I mean? It gets all tangled up. So I'm like, oh, it's just a mystery, dude. But like,
I got to hit up Ron.
Yeah, you got to ask Ron what the fuck is up with it.
Okay. Because everybody on YouTube, I was watching that part before we did this interview, and under the comments, most of the comments are like, dude, that song, what is it? Does anyone know? Like, you know?
No, the only way you could fuck with that song is by getting on my part.
That's kind of cool. Record
it and you don't got to watch my part no more, but the only way to check that out is by having that part. And we didn't plan any of that, but I love stuff like that. I think it's cool. I'm like, wow, that's cool that happened. Like, you know, it's just a silly thing, but it's cool. And then it was rad that Ron said my name in the song. Like, I was tripping. Like, I was bugging out on just them. I said, you guys made a fucking song for it? Like, I was already, like, tripping. Then at the end, when he dedicated this shit to me, I said, oh, my God. And then I had enough footage to, did you see how the song fit? Perfect. I didn't, like, go out and have to film four more things or something. That shit just worked the fuck out.
Oh, yeah. So that's when it's magic.
As soon as I did the front crook fakie, I'm rolling out it, say dedicated to Mike York and just slap. Like, bro, ow. How did he, you know what I mean? It wasn't like I was like, I have three minutes and 20 seconds of footage, guys. Make my song that long. They just made it. It was just, you know, when shit's meant to be, it's meant to be. It works. It works out. It should work out smooth like that.
Yeah, yeah.
It was dope.
And the hot chocolate video, skating to Nicotina, that's just fucking forever. Like, Nicotina for us.
I wish a better Nicotina song, though. I never did know. I wasn't into no yayo or none of that, man. That was older dude shit, man. You know?
Yeah, but it's still the anthem.
You know, yeah. But I was like, man, I was like, I could have picked a better one. They kind of didn't ask me. I think they asked me about who, like, what kind of song, and I'm like, oh, I got a Nicotina song, and you know, and they threw that on there, so I don't know, man. And it's just weird because I'm like, bro, the Yayo song out of all of them, bro, I don't even do that shit. I got young energy, man. I'm skinny. My metabolism's fast,
right? Like
drugs. If I was, I would be done, bro. Wouldn't I have been already done? Yeah, dude. Unless I'm just like the healthiest fucking drug addict in the world. Like, I don't know. What is it? Like, you know?
Well, that part, like, you had the knee brace on and you get it stops on that.
Okay. That part was crazy, man. Editing is funny, dude, because They made that shit look like I was done.
Right.
I was tripping out. Like, you know what is funny? This goes back to Rod Allen. Rod Allen called me up and went, "You okay?" And I said, "What do you mean?" And he goes, "They're getting rid of you, bro." And I said, "What?" And he goes, "They're getting rid of you, bro. What happened?" And I had spoke to Ron in a long time. And I'm in L.A. Ron saw the video and called me and told me that. Ron Allen. Real one, bro. That's why people don't like Ron Allen sometimes. That's why people don't like me sometimes. And you know what? We're okay with it. Because he told me the real shit. He said, "Bro, they're about to get rid of you, bro." He told me that from the Bay Area. Just seeing the video. He go, "You got your name on the box of that video. A quote from you too, bro." Because I see you through that shit. And I went, "What?" I'm up here almost getting bummed at Ron listening to that. Okay. Not my dogs. Not my squad. Not my brothers. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, whoa. I don't know, man. I'm just hurt. Da-da-da. You know what I mean? So the editing looked crazy because I got hurt, went home on the tour, MRI. Nothing was torn. Doctor said, "Oh, you have a sprain. You'll be fine." Called Rick. Rick's like, "Come back on the tour." I'm like, "All right, I can come back on the tour and just be hurt." And he goes, "Dude, come on." So obviously, why am I invited back if I'm like the worst dude in the world to be around, right? If I stink real bad and I'm like the worst attitude and I'm already off the tour, like you invited me back just to smell bad. And you know what I mean? Like,
you're right.
I was making it fun on tour. People was like, "Bring York back. He's fun, even with a hurt leg. Like, it makes it fun." So yeah. I'm like, I want to be there. I'd rather be hurt on tour than hurt at home. Fuck it. Like, you know, so I'm there with like a fucking ice on my knee, trying to, you know, chilling with everybody. And we're hanging and having fun. And, you know, the whole thing. I get home. We're still filming for the video. I get home. I do rehab at my house myself. I get back on the skateboard, film the manual, front 180 fakie manual. Get that clip after I hurt my knee, after the me laying there and shit in the jersey. If you notice all the footage, I'm staying off my right leg. So I do the manual kickflip manual. I stay off the leg. I was good enough to just be able to be hurt and wing it. And it hurt to bend. So kickflip straight. So I'm just being smart. Fuck it. I can do this. I mean, get clips. I wanted to make it look like I got hurt, but I'm coming back.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I thought that's what we was going to do. At the same time, I'm thinking I'm about to get on Nike. I'm like about to get on Nike. Me, Donnie Barley, like we're it. Like me and Donnie Barley are like at Nike. So we're looking at each other like we're getting on Nike with a bunch of other people. So we're thinking we're the new addition to Nike, which was going to be sick. So anyway, side note. So I'm thinking, oh, this is great. This is going to be that Nike kind of, oh, he got hurt, he fighting, he coming back. A total campaign. I'm thinking, oh shit, I got the campaign. I'm the living campaign right now. Put your dice on me. Let's go. You know what I mean? Let's go. I got this.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, you know what I mean? I'm getting footage. I'm still getting clips. Like, can't stop Yorkatron. Yeah, I'm still getting clips, motherfucker. Like, you know what I mean? Like, well, they're still getting manual tricks on like a legit manual, too. Manual front 180 fakie manual. Stayed off the leg, landed it. Boom. Got off the board and limped my ass. You know what I mean? With the brace and bullshit. Did that fucking demo at Wallenberg with the fucking brace and shit like that. And my leg, I shouldn't even have been skateboarding. My fucking a toothpick. My leg could not wobble like side to side. Like it was like, I should not have been skateboarding, but I was cursed with like being able to land shit hurt. Like that hurt. I was like, whoa, I can big flip. I can do this. I can do that. You know what I mean? Cause it's just like in my head. So I'm out there thinking everything is going to be looking that way. And I guess they looked at it as, oh, you hurt your knee once, oh, sprained your knee again, you're done. And you're getting older. And then that was kind of that thing too. It was like, now age ain't nothing but a number type thing. You could be whatever. You know, you could be hella old and rip and no one cares or hella little. But back then it was like, oh, they're still putting like a date on shit. You had an expiration date. I was still in the expiration date skateboarding phase.
So did that happen right as the video came out?
Like, yeah, kind of. I noticed change. I noticed it got colder. I wasn't invited to everything. You know, my phone calls weren't picked up. They weren't there anymore. You know, I wasn't invited to the skate sessions. If I was filming, it was with my filmer, not with whoever they were all with, where it used to be that way. So as I'm picking up signs, it would be like that. Like, actually, it was crazy. Like, one time it was like a party or something was going on, and it was somewhere close to my pad, and Daniel told me about it, and I ended up going, and I don't think certain people thought I was going to be there, and was like, oh shit, that was super weird. And they,
damn,
like, they didn't know me. And I went, oh, okay, Ron Allen knows something I don't. And then from there, like, yeah, and that was that, you know. And I wasn't done. I was like, just like all psyched on like getting my knee back. You know what I mean? I was like, oh, what a, this timing sucks, dude. And then back then, it was definitely my fault. Like, Mike and Rick could do no wrong. So, and then if I talked about it upset, I'm bitter because the chips aren't in my favor. But you know what I mean? But if I told the truth, it's like, no, you're bitter. You're talking shit. And it's like, no, that did happen to me. You know what I mean? It did work like that. Like, I wouldn't, you know what I mean?
Damn.
That was just how it was, though. A lot of people did that, though. It wasn't like I was the only guy to get that treatment like that. And sometimes we were all young, and you know, I don't hold any, I'm not mad at any of them dudes at all. I think that's a very, very awkward, difficult place to be, to have to tell your friend, like, you know, yeah, I can't fuck with you no more. Like, that's rough. Like, so, you know, I don't expect someone to do it with a way to be so graceful at that time.
It's funny because we grew up with this thing that's our passion, so we would do it anyway. But at the point where you actually make it your job, you never thought, because it was so fun and it was just what it was, you never thought you would hear someone say it's only business.
Yeah. When I was doing my brand, I kind of gave the guys that I was giving boards to a realistic outlook on what was going on and what to expect and what to do. And I told every one of my riders, if and when you get a better offer, if someone sees you, you give me a phone call and let me know. And that's all you got to do, is just say, yo, these guys want me to ride for them, bro. I'm going to say, go fucking do that shit. Get paid. Get fucking out there. Go live your fucking dream. Because I only can do what I'm doing right now for you. And and you deserve more. I had a guy named Spencer, and he was on Roller Horror. And I didn't even want to turn anyone pro. I turned him pro. He ended up calling me and going, dude, Powell wants me to ride for him, dude. And they're going to eventually turn me pro. And I go, dude, go get your fucking Bones Brigade on, bro. Go get fucking paid. Go get fucking, go on tour. Go fucking do that shit, bro.
Yeah.
I don't take that shit personal. And we was like, cool. And heck, boom. And I wasn't like, oh, fuck, you know, because I let him know already how it fucking is. So that's what I'm telling those guys. So I don't know. I feel like when changes in the brand happen, I feel like there needs to be people who can sit down and talk with you. Because I thought that I would be working at Girl, like in the back and shit. Like, I didn't know that they would be like a fucking, I'm not fucking with you. I was thinking like, oh shit, they're going to retire me. I'm going to be a like fucking brand, the back manager and shit. You know, I'm going to learn how to do that shit and, you know, be getting the new dudes boards, putting me, you know, something like that.
Right.
I don't, you know, have my back, at least know that like, I'm not like just kicked out and I don't know nothing. Cause that was a hard little transition. It's like, that's how skateboarding was back then. Like, I think now maybe it's different because I think the teams are more like you're a coworker versus back then we was all like friends, like buddy, like we doing shit off the board. Like,
no, you were on stage at Bottom of the Hill for Skater of the Year.
Yeah, that was sick.
Like that kind of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I know. That's what I mean. I love Mike. And I don't know if you guys are friends again or whatever.
All the news. I have no problem with nobody. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I've moved on from that so long. Like, my son is in high school. You feel me?
Yeah.
So I definitely moved the fuck on from that shit. I ain't mad at no one. And like I said earlier, I think we were young and dealing with situations that were hard that probably would take some goddamn therapy or a talk with a professional to like yeah. really be able to get through. So like, fuck it. You know what I mean?
Right.
It is what it is.
So when you started doing your brand, like, did you see a lot of things that opened your eyes too? Like learning stuff through.
I learned a lot about more of, just dealing with different personalities, dealing with different type of skateboarders. There was a time where, like, when I stopped doing the brand is because it wasn't fun anymore. It wasn't because I wasn't making money. I got good at that. I actually like had like good accounts and I had like a lot of stuff. And then COVID helped me because, you know.
Oh, yeah. It was a good time. All of us.
You know, everyone. Yeah. I capitalized on that. I was one of those guys. You know, I'm probably one of those companies that's involved in when everyone talks shit about them small companies came in. Definitely in that group. Definitely.
It was definitely skate shop's best years.
Yeah, they loved me. They loved us. Yeah. And you know, like I was still kicking, like, and it was working, and they were selling the boards and shit was moving, and so it got unfun. If that is that a word, unfun? Well, I'm gonna say it today. It was unfun because I started dealing with just people that were just bullshit and just didn't care about, like I said, the specs, like a fucking eighth of an inch or move this here or, you know, give a shit about a nollie flip. I care about an nollie flip still. I may not be able to do it as well as I could. I got maybe 2 out of 10, but, you know, I still care about it. So I know that I'm not going to lose that the business where I don't know my concave sucks. I'm not doing that. A dude would rather steal $200 from you once than make $50,000 with you, you know, a bunch of times. And I don't understand that. So that was what was happening. And it's a monster company. You know, monsters come back to life. The hand comes back out the ground. Part two, you know, Michael Myers gets up. So, you know, it is roller horror. We're not dead yet. And who knows what I'm doing, man? I got all kinds of things happening with skateboarding.
And you're a dad, right? You got two kids?
Yeah. Olivia and Jacob. That was my little. They're big.
What's that entail? You're waking up early, taking them to school in the mornings, and then.
I take them to school now because my son started high school, so he gets a ride with his friend.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. He's on the high school basketball team, the freshman basketball team. Probably university. I know it. He's good. He's a baller.
Rad, dude.
He's a real good basketball player. My daughter plays basketball. She's pretty good. I could have been, man, I hope I didn't fuck up. Because I was looking at it, I'm like, damn, dude, like, is that in our blood right there? Because they're just shifty and dude, my son's pretty good. I thought it was beginner's luck at first when he was like little, but it's like the little phenomenal skateboarder kid. That just keeps getting the little Ryan Sheckler. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All of a sudden that guy you used to make fun of is the best.
Like just, but he was the best even when you were making fun of him. Fun of him, but not in a bad way. But you're like laughing at like that dude skates like a grown ass man and he hasn't even like, you know what I mean? Kissed the girl.
What's the Push Academy?
Yeah, that's I'm with my man Sean and I'm out here in Santa Clarita and I started basically working with him with a little skate school. I've been wanting to do it for a while and I didn't really have like the proper the clientele, I didn't know how to like reach the parents to know who the fuck I was. To care about even wanting them to want to skate with me. You know, I'm like, that's going to be the part that's hard. Everything else is easy, but it's going to be the, like, how do I build this up?
Right.
Creep. Like, I don't know if my style is going to be walking up to parents at the skate park, sitting there. Ooh, parent. Hey, yeah, you want skate lessons? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. So this dude already basically had it locked down. He's already working with the city of Santa Clarita and all that. So I'm like, so he comes up to me, or a friend of ours, my man Chayden, he is like, bro, this dude was asking to see if you wanted to do something with skate lessons and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, dude, that, you know, because he chain heard me talking about it. So he's like, let me link you with this dude. So I end up, long story short, I link with the dude, end up like crushing this. You know what I mean? Like crushing it. Like, I didn't realize how much this gave back to me at my age and where I am and how I am and my way my mind is. And it's absolutely like the best job in the world. Like, it's great. And it's like the style. I've had parents come up to me and say, how long have you been doing this for? And I'll be like, maybe like 6-7 months. And they're like, what? He's like, I'm a fucking teacher. He's like, you got it, bro. Like, blah, blah, blah. So like, me having kids, my patience with kids is there. Me understanding skateboarding and loving skateboarding, you know what I mean? And being good at fucking skateboarding it's like, the reason I'm good at it is because I use my technique to build my confidence, to be consistent, to be doing that trick a lot. So people say, oh, that dude does that trick. You know what right. I mean?
Yeah.
Like, Curry knows how to let the ball go and where to grab it. Why he's confident to shoot the ball right in front of a fucking dude 2 fucking inches away from him. Bam. It's going in. I practice. This is what I do. I'm not nervous. This is what I do. To see kids go from one to the other. And everyone has their own teaching style. You know what I mean? And I'm kind of more of an advanced teacher. I don't want to touch you. I'll hold your hand if you're like a baby, but I don't want to touch you. I want you to know how to ride a skateboard. Mm. And no one touched me. Like, I don't see Nigel Houston having a dude underneath him holding his hand at the X Games while he goes down the ramp.
Right.
So we're eliminating a lot of that. That's what I'm doing. I'm just like, bro, like, if I can eliminate like 47 hippers and 38 swellbos and have you learning the transition a little early and understanding it, you might take this little rubber band body and, you know, turn it to the domino right there. But I've taught like grown-ups how to kickflip.
Ah.
Like, my man Sean had a kid and he was teaching him how to kickflip, and the kid was flipping it and he couldn't land it. And then Sean ended up going, yo, would you teach that kid? I'm going to go to a concert or do something. I forgot what he said, or sick, or I forgot. And then, yeah, we got it. I put him, there was this the kid, he was on my Instagram, the last kid.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Alex.
That's got to be an insane feeling though, right? Like, you share that moment with that kid and that kid is beyond hype. Like, your first kickflip means a lot.
Right.
Yeah. It's big. And like, so you're a part of that. Like, it's just continuing this venture as you will. Like, it used to be your peers. Now it's you're the older guy.
It's amazing. And the best part is no one knows me, dude. They find out later.
Oh. That's
the fucking part.
Right.
They
find
out later, dude. They go, I didn't know you were there. I didn't. And I go, yeah. And then they go, oh, wow. And then because I did that, then the parents now get to go, he's a pro skateboarder. He had to cover a Thrasher magazine. He's on Google. He's Google. And now all of a sudden, all the taboo shit I'm not supposed to talk about in skateboarding to skateboarders, I can brag my ass off to these fucking PTA, like, to them, you know, because they're not in skateboarding. So I can tell the new clients, you know, the parents, like, yeah, I've been to cover Thrasher. I was on the hottest brands. I went on tour. I've been to the Eiffel Tower of skateboarding. You know, stupid shit that, like, you know, I'd get like eaten alive on Slap message board for saying, but like, to the parents, it's my selling point. You can learn a jump shot from Backyard Willie, or you can learn a jump shot from the dude who was in the NBA. Your choice, you know?
Right, exactly.
That's how I present. I go, ooh, like, I, you know, my 30 plus years of skateboard experience, actually, I have somewhere to do it now. Like, I have a couple of special kids that maybe we hang more than we learn tricks. So I know that what I'm doing is bigger than lean back, hit the tail. It's mentorship. It's giving them confidence. It's letting them know. It's letting these kids tell themselves to be proud of themselves early, bro.
Right.
I can't do this. And I say, yet. You keep forgetting yet. When you fuck with me, you can't do it yet. Where I'm at. And I'm letting these guys know it. I teach kids, boys, girls, whoever, you know, whoever wants to skate, men, ladies, it doesn't matter. Uh-huh. And the Santa Clarita skate park is where I do most of my lessons at.
Okay.
And just in Santa Clarita right now, but like, you know, eventually I want to blow something up and have something big, you know what I mean? And yeah, this is the opportunity to give back to skateboarding, like in a real way. And Rad. Anyone who's ever really skated with me knows that I'll tell you to lean back or put your foot like this or that. I always been like that.
Uh-huh.
I've always been a technical break it down. And Keenan Milton is the one who told me that. Keenan showed me that. And he said, this is how you become consistent. This is how you become good. You know what the fuck you're doing. You don't just huck it. I used to huck it. A lot of dudes huck it, you know? And he goes, no, you don't huck it, bro. You know what the fuck you're doing from start to finish. You figure out every piece. That's how you know what you're doing. And you watch the way he skates. Yeah, he skates like that. You watch Keenan switch for the tables, bro. He's not hucking. He knows what the fuck he's doing.
Yeah, it's a legend. Fuck yeah.
Right? So once he put that in my head, I said, oh, shit. I started skating different. Keenan made me a better skateboarder, 100%.
Have you seen that This Old Ledge, the Thrasher, they've got a new series?
Yeah, and I was included in that one. I was like, oh, my God, there I am. That was really nice. I was like super psyched on that, man. That was cool to remember us and remember that, you know?
What do you think, let's give an over-under on how many boards are in the bay right there at Pier 7?
It was like 30, 40, maybe. About 30.
I was like, somebody's got to fucking go down there and get all those.
Not hundreds, but like I threw my board in there and Carl got really bummed on me. And I got so bummed that Carl got so bummed that I never went in. And I was super apologetic to Carl. It really bummed him out. And then I felt like an idiot because as soon as Carl gave me to like, what the fuck, bro? Like, you know what I mean? Like, why'd you do that? And I like looked at him and said, I don't know. I had a temper tantrum and I just was selfish. And I threw my board in the water and you just, you know, and it fucking bummed me out. And I felt sad and twice, you know?
Yeah.
And so I did that shit again. So don't cancel me skateboarding. And if you cancel me, so what? You wasn't fucking with me anyway. Shit. What? You're not going to buy my shoe? Who's it on? What shoe?
Are you kind of surprised at all, or do you know why that there hasn't been an EMB documentary? It seems like with all you guys and all the fucking media that, you know, the access, like.
I don't think there's any footage that anyone would be. It would kind of be like the Dogtown one, but then it would just be like questionable footage. And then like footage from like the Spitfire video. And then like footage of Brian Young at the Spitfire, you know, with Kelch talking and like no Kelch footage.
But if you were like, all right, you get the main guys and you interview them, but then you have LeVar's best tricks, Kelch's best tricks, your best tricks, Carol's, and it's all together in one video, it would be this pretty epic historical thing that like kids in the new generation will be like, oh, this is why EMB is the shit.
Yeah, like
because right now they're like, why'd Supreme make such a big deal out of EMB? That's weird. They're from New York. They came to SF and hyped it up. Like, why? And it's like, this is why.
Yeah. Yeah. That, I mean, done correctly, it would be sick. And to homage type video, then yes, all day you can do that. But I think the reason that there's not the actual documentary is because we don't have no footage. A lot of
it hasn't been seen.
I would say Dave Sloshbach, Jake Rosenberg.
Yeah, Meza, maybe?
Meza would have more of like our generation. Meza would probably have like the LeVars, me, Chico, that was like the younger EMB.
What about those Russian twins?
The Russian? No, I don't think. Because Russian Twins wasn't filming them dudes like that. Like I don't know. Like Russian Twins were cool. I wasn't mad at no one, but I was also cool with everybody. Like I liked everyone. Like you had to be a dick for me not to like you. I'm still like that. You're the cooler dick. That's it.
I always was embraced by certain dudes and felt a weird vibe by certain dudes. I don't need to name anybody, but like you and Rick were always cool to me.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I just felt like that was how it was, you know? And you got to remember, like, some of those dudes came up hard life. Like skateboarding was like, you did, like they were gangsters, kind of like they would have been gang banger ass motherfucking gangster ass motherfuckers if they were escaped some of them dudes. I think that attitude, and then just, you know, it's just a skate attitude, man. It was like, it was like, you know, like RIP to the Felper, you know what I mean? Like, dude, that like vibe, like if that dude fucked with you, like you were in, you know what I mean? And I know for a fact, like that dude would laugh at dudes kissing his ass, you know? And I knew for a fact that like, I would fuck, he would fucking joke with me. I joke right back with him. And I remember I'm at the probably one of the last SRE, whatever.
ASR?
Fucking, whatever it was. There was like, whatever, one of the last ones, one of the few, the last of the Mohican ones, you know, it was probably a couple more and then it was like, everyone was over it.
Yeah.
I had just got kicked off Chocolate. And this is when Jake had just blown his knee out and just had that knee surgery. Remember?
Yeah.
Like a long time ago. So we're walking, meet, and he just looks at me and he goes, ouch, it's gotta hurt right here. Like that. And I go, knee. He goes, it sucks. And I go, I feel the knee right here. Go. And it was fucking beautiful.
Uh-huh.
And I turn around and I go, Jake. He turns around. I go, am I still banned in Thrasher? He goes, you never were. And I go, fucking do it already. And I turn around and leave. And he's just like, I love that because everyone does the opposite to me.
Kiss my ass. No, it's the minute you step up, that's when you get the respect.
You know, and I'm like, yeah. I know, dude, I didn't even know who he was. And I'm at Studio 43 trying to learn how to fucking skate the fucking ramp. And Bryce is there, Thebo's there, Phelps is there, and I'm there with LeVar, and there with John Diago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to like skate the ramp, and Phelps is just like, oh, anytime I touch that motherfucker, because I was the most fakey rock hang up fucking skating ass dude, chicken, ten, 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 that dude.
So
he let me get two off, because I'm going to let him go back and forth twice. I'm rolling in on him every time. And did. Rolled, intimidated. Never hit me, touched me. Just intimidated. The fuck saw how shaky I was on the ramp.
Mm. And
able to skate next to me fast and intimidate the fuck off me. Get off my ramp. I remember being a little kid, little hothead. Man, I don't know who the fuck you are. Do we glasses? Is that you? Man, fuck you. I skate street, man. Fuck this ramp. Fuck all this. You know what I mean? I'm way outside. I fucking took my temper tantrum ass and went outside and sat down. John Diago came with me and we sat out there. I'm doing kickflips outside. Fuck that, this is skating. Fuck that ramp. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And both of them coming out later telling me, you know who that was, right? I'm like, no. And then, I don't know. He was cool. Cool ever since, man.
Yeah.
So he appreciated the fact that I had no idea who he was and actually called him a dick being a little kid. And then realize and being like, oh, shit. You know what I mean?
You got the cover, though.
That's what I'm doing.
Presidio, right?
So I ended up getting that photo. And then with Luke, because I go out with Luke all the time. Me and Luke, there was a point where I would just skate with Luke. And then he would just drop me off at Pier 7 and I'd hang out at Pier 7. So it was like I was loving it. And I would tell all my pros friends to come do this with me. None of them wanted to do it. I'm like, bro, I got the formula. We go out with this guy. We get in Thrasher. And then you come back here and you kick it all day and film your clips and shit. This shit is the life, bro. This is and he's going to get you spots that you might want to film a clip at. And he's finding all the spots. Luke will call me and go, bro, found this place. I want you to crick grind it. I say, all right. You fucking meet you up here. All right. Hang up the phone. Fucking no, none of this. Like, meet Luke. I leave my car, get in his truck, drive me over there. Think you crick grind it? Yeah. Let's go. Boom. Crick grind the bar. You know, take me. I got this frontside nose line for you in the city. The ledge off the stairs. You know, the one Drake did the nose side pop. Front knows it. We'll get a photo of it. It'll be dope. Boom, boom, boom. Doom. Photo of it. Bam. Chocolate ad. It was like, it was just like, that's how it come. There was a point where I'm in almost every one of them mags, dude. Like, other, like, I would just go out with if it. And then the beauty of it too was, it was like I was sponsored by a lot of people. So like Fresh Jive at the time, and Fresh Jive would pay a lot for a photo. You could invoice them. Would take all. I'd say, Luke, dude, want to make $800 real quick today? Like, let's shoot a Fresh Jive ad. He's like, love you, bro. Okay, you know what I mean?
Hell like, yeah.
Him and Ken Goto,
those Luke two was sick.
Always hit them up, and then when I'm in LA, I would hit up CU Trend. Those were my guys that I would hit up and say, "Yo, you want? Let's make some money. I want to make shoot this with me. Let's make some bucks."
Right. You know
what I mean? Yep. I made sure, like, I looked out when I did that. When I was in that position to be like a pro skater, cool guy, whatever, I tried to look as much as I could. You know, so yeah, that was just fun, man, shooting photos and all that. And that era was the shit.
Yeah.
So like, you know, going out and just like, oh, I found this spot. I found this spot. And it's so crazy because Luke would tell me, he would be like, dude, I'll just drive around San Francisco and look for shit and just be like, York would like that. Fucking, you know what I mean? Struber would like that. This guy like that. When Butcher's in town, I'm bringing him to that.
Yeah.
You know, the squad back then, like the guys that would be in the mag all the time.
Totally.
So fun. And I would like be telling like Marcus and LeVar and those guys, come on, come on, come on. So, you know, it was like one day we're out. Oh, I found a flat bar in Presidio. All right, let's check it out. This been done, this been done, this been done. All right, let me do the blunt side thing. Do the front blunt, do it. Like transfer the other side. And then I get a phone call. Oh, you got to do it again. But I got to bring you a board. And he goes, I'm going to go to FTC and get that same Mike Carroll board. But don't put any stickers on it. And stickers all over. I was in photo instant of King. I was like hustling. So I had my Reflex bearing sticker on there, DVS sticker, whatever shoes. No, I was wearing S back then. Etnies and Don Brown was still hooking me up. So I had like Sal's, actually. I remember I had those Sal shoes. And then, you know, all my sponsors for, you know, you get it in the magazine, get $200.
Right.
So hell yeah. Like, you know, kill six birds with one stone, you know. So I think my board had hella stickers. So there was like, we ain't putting that on a cover. I didn't know I'm getting a cover. So Luke brings me to board, set it up. I said, all right, do it here. And so in full-blown Thrasher, earn a cover style. I do it again. I eat shit. Slam. I one, fucking miss one. Do the full leg over, bam, hip, falling, boom. I'm laying fucking next to Luke. Like my fucking face is in the gutter. It's like a curb. My face is literally in between like this, like in the curb. And I'm looking at him like all like body, like tweak. And he's like, get up and do it. This is for the cover of Thrasher. And I just got up and was like, oh, fuck. Went back, did like two more, made it. And then I think I ate shit and I tried another one. I ate shit again. And he goes, okay, you ate shit twice. So it's like super legit. It's like, and I felt like I needed to eat shit in order for it to be the cover. Even like the whole point of getting the cover is landing the move. Yeah. I felt like dues to be paid to have that honor, you know? And so when he told me that shit, I was like, damn. And really fuck with me because the way I look at skateboarding, you know, it made me go, wow, I contributed this much to this shit. Like people know my name and stuff like that. And like everyone in skateboarding in my eyes got to think about it like this. Everybody in skateboarding got to look at me in November. I still remember it's November because that's my birthday month too. Fuck, man.
Damn.
That was fucking cool. It mean a lot to me. That's a big deal to me. That Thrasher cover. It's bigger, big deal. Especially at the time. It's 96, bro. I ain't getting no, it's 90s, bro. You had to earn that shit. Like 96, the rough year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It wasn't like it wasn't like sympathy or nothing. It was like, you know, there was enough skaters to cover more than 12 months of magazines in that year.
Right.
I could have not been one and been totally okay with it.
Mm.
So to know that the whole skateboard world was looking at me for just that little bit of second, and I was like, whoa, that's great. Like, usually it's like Mike Vallely is getting looked at or someone, you know, and they're all now look like, do you get it? What I'm saying? Does that make sense?
No, it's like, sacred, man. It's forever, and you can never take that away from you.
You know, I'm one of them now. Like, instead of instead of one of them there, they're all looking at me. And I'm like, oh shit, I'm usually in the crowd looking at one of them. And that's why it's special to me, bro.
Yeah.
It was like, fuck yeah. And I'm not mad at the photo. I'm not mad at the trick. I'm not mad at none of it. Like, you know, when I look at that picture, I'm like, oh, that's dope.
So like, he didn't explain to you when he was like, oh, we got to go do it with a board, a different board with no stickers.
He didn't tell me.
Okay.
Everybody does that to me.
Because usually nobody tells anybody they're getting a cover. Like usually, like that's, you know, it's like that's kind of.
I would have blew it. I would have probably got too nervous. So I would have been trying to think I needed to do something more or something. You know what I mean?
Like, for sure.
Or like Tommy Guerrero guns and look over the shoulder. But natural, am I good enough? Do I mimic?
Yeah,
you know, spot wasn't super crazy, like as far as like how you get a Thrasher cover now, that shit better be gnarly, like you know what I mean? But
yeah,
and you little fuckers did it yourselves by going gnarly and buck that whole time, so
yeah,
blame yourselves, bro. You guys put it that way, but I mean, a good photo, it was sick. And you know, just to even be considered to get a cover, to actually get it is rad. It was like people saw it that I respect in skateboarding and said, hell yeah, this motherfucker gonna represent our shit this month. Me being on the Thrasher cover with the name Thrasher, that's, man, someone could fuck that up. You know what I mean? Like, that's why old people, I think sometimes when you be seeing like super old people, they just are kind of on like different time. You know, they move different, but then. Yeah. You'll notice it with all of them. It's just kind of where they left off. You know what I mean? And life moved and they were like, we ain't doing that shit. And it's like us, you know, he's like, we ain't doing that shit. Mm. You know,
for sure. Hey, I've taken so much of your time and I appreciate it. I got one final one and it's going to be the hardest one maybe for you.
Oh, is it mass?
No, it's the longest, because throughout your whole career, you've been around fucking insane shit. You've been on rad tours. You've skated with great people. Is there one thing that stands out as I was there for this and it stoked the fuck out of me? Like if it's MJ's fucking ender or whatever it was.
Oh, man, this is going to be hard.
Is that too hard? There's not anything, or it doesn't have to be the number one, but it could be whatever comes to mind.
I'm not going number one, but let me shoot out some stuff that I've been around. So
yeah,
so like we said earlier, being in the room with Mike Carroll and it was kind of
insane.
I don't know why I was there. Let's see. I saw Henry do a fakie 5-0 fakie flip for the first time. I was there at Embarcadero. Wow. On the Terminator board. Saw
Damn.
That was pretty fucking gnarly to see that. That was unbelievable. I was at every one of those Steve Olsen skating Hubba Hideout sessions.
Really?
Yeah.
Foundation. Oh, fuck. Steve Olsen, man. What happened to that dude? So sick.
I don't know, the month, bro. But yeah. And then I don't know, he just kind of did his thing, whatever. After, but yeah, when the monk was on foundation and fucked that hubba up, I was
yeah, there,
bro.
Wow, what was the coolest shit you seen LeVar do in person?
All that shit, everything,
everything he did. You were there.
He switched fronts. I flipped the 7 at Embarcadero on Shiloh's first pro model board. So that tell you about.
There you go.
Real good.
Fuck.
Ollie the Gons. LeVar Ollie the Gons. That was
really
fun. Yeah.
Wow.
Hell yeah. Me and Paul was about to kind of look at it. LeVar got up there and did this shit. He was like, I'm cool. I don't know if Carl and I did it. I'd never Ollie the Gons.
Uh huh.
We didn't get a chance.
Damn. Yeah. Fuck yeah.
I wasn't there for Dino and I wasn't there for Mark, but I was there for Josh Rundell's frontside shove it. I was actually on the payphone talking to Rodney Mullen. Oh shit.
Wow.
He's right there, bro. That was when he was on Think and he was on Venture and Think. Josh Rundell. This is right before like all the jail stuff or whatever, the gun stuff.
Uh-huh.
So he's skating and he was like, I think Rick had tried to front shove it, but he didn't land it. So it was still up in the air. They show Rick like try a front shove in Plan B video, but he bails it. And you hear Carl go, oh, that's our little voice. I do the same thing. Oh, but now it's all old and fucked up. I've been cheering like that forever. So that's me and Carl's voice. And then I'm on the phone and I'm like ordering a box or something, like, hey, where's our filming the video, whatever, talking to Rodney, you know what I mean? And you have to pay phone. I'm watching. I could see the Gons gap. And I'm like, oh shit. I'm like, Josh Mandel just frontside shoved the fucking Gons gap. And I like told Rodney, and Rodney like got it. Like LA got it. It was like Instagram, bro. I was I'm like reporting skate news to like Rodney
on the scene.
God's gap, frontside shove, Swindell. Click. Like, you know what I mean? Like on the phone. Rodney up there like, no shit. Like, yeah. Next thing you know, it's fucking think at him doing it. Sequence. Yeah. So that was cool.
That's amazing.
Eris's warehouse, like early days, like seeing like meeting like Danny Sargent and him being so fucking cool and being like so cool for like a pro back then. Like Debo was pretty cool, but he was kind of like on his thing. He would roll with Julian, who was like, fuck these guys. That did, like, it'd fly out. So we'd see Julian, he'd say, what's up? He wouldn't be a dick, but he would be like, we're not hanging with these guys. So Julian fast and he'd be out. And our little ass couldn't keep up. We'd be like, all right, Dave. You know, that crew of dudes.
Yeah.
We would see those guys. I would trip out on that. When Tommy and him would like be regulars at fucking Embarcadero for a minute, they were like E&B Lokes for a second. That was sick. Fucking us going to Nodis's house and shit. That was fucked up.
The one that he does the tail slide off.
Well, we were Jim. We go to the beach. So I'm looking the beach that I skate all the time now. But like then I'm like, like looking at this shit like, oh my God, that's where Nodis does to this. That's this. That's this. Fucking bugging. And then Jim's like, yeah, we're going to go walk up to Nodis's house. We walk. It was right there. We walk. And I'm sitting on Nodis's couch looking at Nodis. Just watching Nodis walk around his house. Looking at everything in this fucking house. Like, damn, that's not his chair. He sits in that. That's his table. He puts things on that. Wow, look at his wall, dude. It looks like my wall, kind of. But doper. It's not his. You know what I mean? Like, I'm fucking bugging the fuck out. And then, obviously, Stereo J. Sleep meeting all them dudes. And you know what I mean? And, you know, being on an airplane and fucking skating or, you know, I don't know, all that shit. Shit is crazy, dude.
You've had a fucking sick career, dude. You've been around a lot of people and you've done a lot of rad shit yourself. So I really appreciate you taking the time, man. It's always a pleasure talking to you. I remember that one long weekend we had in Vegas for the Boost Mobile.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun. Nelly and fucking everything. It was like Felper and Mickey were like the hosts and like
it was
a crazy one. So. Mm-hmm. Well, good, man.
Hit me in the head with a water bottle on that.
But he
was throwing it to TNT because Tony had fucking ripped, and I'm talking with him. I'm like, bro, get this dude some water. And I'm like looking around, and Julian's up at the top. He fucking throws the fucking water bottle, and the fucking cap hits me right in the fucking head, dude, and like camera and everything, and I fucking fall on my ass.
Oh.
I look up and he's like, oh shit. And I'm like, it's cool. Everyone's laughing and shit. And I just think I'm getting fired from the place. All pissed off because they were talking to me in the ear thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, I just got hit in the head with a fucking bottle. I'm over this shit. And I remember saying to the mic, like, I'm over this shit. It was so fucking funny. Fired. I wonder what happened to my career. I wonder why I'm not like doing that. I would love that job, but whatever.
Yeah.
I blew it in Vegas. I guess I'm the only guy to burn it in Vegas.
Yeah, all right. No way. Well, fuck, dude. Thank you so much, man. Good talking to you. Thank you. Chime in from time to time. Say what's up.
I will, for sure. I appreciate it.
I love you, Mike. Take care.
Take care. Love you. Thanks for the opportunity. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Yes, later.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Talking Schmidt. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Anchor, Spotify, or anywhere you get your podcasts. When you subscribe, you'll get notifications every Tuesday of new episodes the minute they become available. Also, please leave reviews and a 5-star rating. It's the best way to help the show grow. All of the episodes will always remain free, but if you would like to help support the show, you can do so at talkingschmidt.com, where you can pick up some merchandise like t-shirts, beanies, hats, and stickers. The website has an entire archive of all of the episodes, with extra photos and videos. Email us with any suggestions, comments, or ways that the show may have improved your life at talkingschmidt@gmail.com. All interviews are conducted, edited, and produced by Schmitty. The intro music is Mary's Cross by the band Nature. A very special shout out goes to the executive director, Cheryl Camisa.
Shout out.
Love it!
This is Talking Schmidt, where the Rolodex is deep, but the conversation is deeper.
Keep the wheels greased.